Haines School Board looks for public input on the future of Mosquito Lake School, and getting ready for the Alcan 200 this weekend. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. With the future of Mosquito Lake School in question because of low enrollment, the Haines District School Board has a few occasions in the coming weeks for the community to raise their questions and concerns. The board must decide whether to keep Mosquito Lake School open despite low enrollment, which affects state funding. Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri has said it's not a foregone conclusion the school will close, but the board needs to decide whether the district should spend the funds to keep the school afloat. A threshold of 10 students is required by the state to help support a second school site in a district. The board is planning a community meeting in Mosquito Lake on Tuesday, January 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. Palmieri said the board and school staff will give a short presentation on the situation. Then Palmieri said the board hopes to hear it from the community about their concerns, ideas, questions, and opinions. Board members are taking a district bus to Mosquito Lake and says they can accommodate some other passengers if Haines residents would like to travel to Mosquito Lake for the meeting. Just call Ashley Sage at the school district office. Palmieri said the board also set aside time at its next meeting on February 4th for public input. School board meetings normally begin at 7 p.m., but the board will convene at 6:30 on the 4th to have a half-hour period for public comments and discussion. Palmieri said the board has yet to settle into decision-making mode about Mosquito Lake School. She said the board set out a plan of wanting to gather community input, then information from the borough, before making a decision. The school board and borough assembly were scheduled to meet earlier this month in a joint meeting, but that was canceled. Palmieri said the board and assembly are trying to set another meeting date. After that, the school board will delve into its budget process, which will include deciding whether to keep open or close Mosquito Lake School. It might be rainy in Haines, but hopefully 42 miles up the highway, there will be better conditions for the 45th running of the Alcan 200. The snow machine race to Dezhdiash Lake and back is dubbed the last great road race in North America. Patty Campbell and Kathy Lapp of the Chilkat Snowburners help organize the event. On Thursday, Lapp had trophies piled in her dining room ready to go to the top finisher in each category after Saturday's race. Starting early Saturday morning, racers will gather just past the U.S. border. The road will close at 8 a.m. Alaska time. Racers will line up their sleds based on how their bibs are drawn the evening before at the Calcutta auction. Bundled up with supplies, gear, and most with duct tape on their cheeks to protect against the wind and cold, the participants will begin leaving at 10 a.m. Speeds can get well past 100 miles per hour depending on conditions. Campbell said the key to the fast conditions isn't so much snow as a good layer of ice on the roadway.
You see, the summit's different because it's different weather than what we get here. So they need more ice conditions than they need snow. So when it snows, it needs to warm up and it needs to turn to ice so that the road conditions are good for the race. Because when you have those banana peel tracks, they don't go too well in the snow.
Several veteran racers are signed up to return, including locals like Chris Brooks, Sean McLaughlin, and George Campbell. And Mario Pullen of Whitehorse will return. He's been racing the Alcan for more than 30 years. Other out-of-towners are registered as well, and a new category for top out-of-town finisher will be awarded this year. Lapp said with visitors and locals involved, the event provides an anchor event in January for Haines for what is probably the slowest visitor month of the year.
It's nice to be able to bring this into town, you know, and have some sort of activity. We have a lot of snowmobilers.
This year's race poster pays tribute to other longtime supporters and founders of the event like Belle Sage Lang, Beverly Jones Knipe, and Leo and Georgianne Smith. The 86-year-old Leo Smith is also featured in this month's Alaska Snow Rider magazine for his dedication to the event. The event continues to go strong, Lapp and Campbell said, with volunteers and more than 36 sponsors. Besides those tall trophies waiting in Lapp's house to go to the winner, the top finisher will also get $1,000 with cash prizes going to other division places. The Alcan weekend kicks off Friday evening at the Fog Cutter Bar with the driver sign-up at 5:30 and Calcutta auction to follow. The race starts at 42 Mile Haines Highway at 10 a.m. Saturday, Alaska time, and the awards ceremony starts at 5:30 at the American Legion in Haines. Returning this year after a few years' absence is Snow Drags on Sunday at 18 Meadows. That track opens at 10 a.m. Sunday with races to start at 11. And the Haines Highway will be closed from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. Alaska time Saturday for the race. You can follow race results on the Alcan 200 Facebook page, and we'll post photos on our KHNS News Facebook page on Saturday as well. There won't be many appropriations for Southeast Alaska projects this legislative session. That's the word from Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, who represents a large swath of the region, including Haines. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports as part of a series on Southeast lawmakers' session priorities.
In past sessions, the legislature has put millions of dollars towards regional hydro projects. Stedman says it's usually linked to energy appropriations for South Central and the Interior, but the former co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee doesn't expect that to happen this time around.
I don't see a pressing need this year that the rail belt's going to push forward with any energy projects, at least that I'm aware of. So I think it's going to be pretty difficult for rural Alaska just to come up with their own energy plan and get the votes to do anything.
Governor Sean Parnell's capital budget includes $10 million towards the Susitna-Wautana Dam north of Anchorage. That's a small fraction of its $5.2 billion overall cost. But there was nothing for Sitka's Blue Lake, Ketchikan-Swan Lake, or any other panhandle hydro project. Parnell said lawmakers could convince him to add other projects. The legislature also reworks that budget. But Stedman says the Blue Lake Dam, which is being raised, is unlikely to get more money this year.
It is more challenging to get funding for a project that's already going to get built or is being built than it is to put together a financial package before the construction contracts are let.
The Sitka Republican says other district projects needing funding include the Ketchikan Shipyard and Angoon Sewer System. He says the state also needs to put more money aside to replace additional marine highway ships.
If we diddly-daddle around, by the time we get these Alaska-class ferries built and we get the Tuscumina replaced, if we don't, in my opinion, have a sinking fund set up and we continually put away, as an example, $50 million a year into the marine replacement, by the time we get those first three ships built, the rest of these boats are going to be another 10 years older and are already old as we speak.
Stedman last year proposed a bounty on sea otters, which eat shellfish Southeast divers and crabbers harvest. His bill brought strong criticism from environmental groups, and the federal agency managing otters said it would violate marine mammal protection laws. The legislation is still in play. Stedman says he wants to find a different way to support native hunters, the only people allowed to harvest otters and process their pelts.
I need to sit down with Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation and have a few more meetings in Juneau to work out what we're actually going to change it to, if it's going to end up, you know, trying to be a marketing assistance or tanning assistance or something else. But the chances of the bill going forward as it's written without being rewritten to take out the bounty is slim.
Stedman's Senate district includes Ketchikan, Wrangell, Cake, Craig, and other towns where timber used to be a major industry. He says he supports the governor's attempt to get 2 million acres of the Tongass National Forest turned over to Alaska.
If the state was to take basically all of northern Prince of Wales outside of, you know, the native land selections and home sites and stuff like that, that would give us a timber base that we could run a fairly good size economic generation off of.
Stedman continues to oppose House Bill 77, which would speed permitting for resource development projects. He says Alaska needs some limits on those who want to block mines and similar ventures, but he says the bill goes too far and was pushed through the legislature without enough public input.
We'll see if we're going to have a little more thorough scrubbing, or we're just going to play hardball politics and they'll do what they can to pick up one vote and pass the bill. But I would expect that that bill will get passed in some form by the end of the session.
The bill made it through the House last year, but came up short in the Senate. Stedman was among those voting no. The Sitka senator, who served for about 11 years, chairs his chamber's Health and Social Services Committee. He says the panel will take up items requested by the Parnell administration, but not a lot else.
I have no intention of just running committee hearings to run committee hearings to entertain people.
Stedman continues criticizing the governor's oil and gas production tax, which passed last year. Alaskans will get their say through a referendum later this year. He says the latest revenue estimates support his view that it's better to fix it now than later.
My initial review of these numbers would say that the state has basically taken the entire hit, the industry only moving negative $300 million, where we're moving negative $3.3 billion.
Stedman is one of six legislators representing Southeast Alaska. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Lisa Fu and Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.